Well, Kyle doesn't care. That's going to be the start for today's podcast.
There's a song like that, I feel.
Pissing in the stream, spinning.
Pissing in the stream.
Shitting in the stream.
Just jump straight to it. We're dropping the big old deuce in the stream today. This is the Arctic Tundra episode of the podcast. We're not talking about that. It's just cold. It's balls.
I'm Kyle Hagen is an intro, I guess.
Kyle's in the back.
You
might have to speak up a little bit. I don't know.
Speak up, Sonny.
We're doing a bunch of things different because this is my new phone with my new microphone. And I'm not even. I guess it's a new recording app.
Did you just want me to hold it up?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right.
The last time we did that, this is Kendrick Evans spitting in a stream of consciousness. Last time we did that, you could hear every time there was any kind of movement, everyone's voices came in and went, fucking terrible.
Covered
with that sound of someone's heartbeat and farting constantly. So,
yes.
Which is obviously what's going to happen. So,
Kyle, you already introduced yourself?
You literally just did.
Okay, then.
Fuck you.
So, I'm Joe Quick, guest star for this show again.
Which, considering how you've been in the majority of them, I still think we should always call
more
you
more than
guest.
Half.
Yeah, you're going to be an official guest star.
Forever. That way we never have to pay you.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Hey.
I don't show up on the books as it is.
It's, yeah, well, I mean, you're not. So anyway.
Well, no.
Who has that Google Keep thing? Because I know there were some things. Let's set a topic that we can immediately deviate from.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheese and its many uses.
At least people will know. Oh, roughly. Here's the topic.
Yeah, this is the goal.
So, what's the process from Kyle's perspective?
Yeah, remember, I told
What's
you.
What's the process? Yeah.
I pass through all of the things that we say. We should talk about that next time, because I listen to the podcast, and I sit down and type in everything that we talked about next time. Last time. So you're never actually going to get away from it.
Well, we still have cheese and its many uses on here.
Which I feel like we did a decent job of covering last time. We can do more.
Okay.
But I'd like to go somewhere else. If we could do something that's not about relationships, because we did it two times in a row.
Sure. Let's do the nuances of not safe for work.
I feel like this is going to get... Okay,
it's okay, so good.
No. I can do it. Let's do it.
No, this is a good one, too. I like epilogues and books from movies. Like,
yeah, epilogues and cool books one. Versus movies.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a great one.
Because we were discussing... Okay, yeah. Let's see, what were we discussing? It started when we were watching Hunger Games. That's when it came up, right?
Yeah.
Because we were watching the last Hunger Games. Spoiler alert, it ends. Further spoiler alert, it has what Kendrick considers a Tolkien-esque... Why is it not done yet? Series of endings. Which is not to disparage the movie, because I quite like the movie, I quite like the series. But it had that thing where you're like, and conclusive scene, and fade to black,
back up.
Fade back in, and then there's more, and then yeah, fade out, fade back in, and then you're like, I've got to pee. I'm done here.
I had to pee from ending number one.
And we're on like ending number seven.
Yeah.
Which led to the discussion at one point about where you could just cut different movies that you could call it at different points, and then the whole movie has a completely different meaning.
Because like, even in books they don't have those I didn't see the third Hobbit, to be quite frank. I didn't watch it yet. I want to watch it. I just haven't had time to sit down for 6 hours.
Oh, that one's got like 913 endings. It does, the whole movie is a series.
It
of endings.
It is a series of endings, but
really
I do have to say
I'm in this position where I've either never read the book.
Can I talk over everyone at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in this position where I've never really read any of the books, or I haven't seen the movie that the book's based on that I've read. You know, so like, it's hard for me to sit here and be like, oh yeah, the Hobbit ending was way shorter than the book one, or than the movie one, because I've read the Hobbit, but I haven't seen the movie.
I feel like that's
I've read the Hobbit as well.
The amount of information that's in the books, in the book. As opposed to the series of movies, I feel is almost a completely different discussion.
Well, yeah, they added a lot.
there's
movies.
A lot that's happening
but
there that never happened.
The problem with the books and Tolkien, this is the Tolkienism, is that in the book, the conclusive battle, which goes on forever, is done, and then there's like 100 more pages of shit that happens.
Yeah, that's a journey back. Well, the book's not about the fight. The book's
no, at no point. But here's the thing: is when you make a movie. It has the big conclusive scene, and then there's like a wrap up, and we're used to that kind of style, which is where a lot of books have translate weirdly, because I mean, okay, so Lord of the Rings. I'll admit, I never actually finished the book series. I only ever read The Hobbit. I kept trying to start The Fellowship, but it just didn't get me. It was like slow and had so many false starts as well. It's like what's going on? And then I had to, I don't know, school or something. I don't remember why I never picked it up again. It's probably still sitting with a Lord of the Rings bookmark in it on my shelf somewhere. Hopefully a shelf I still own. But The Hobbit, I remember it did end, and it had a long series of endings. And now the movie, I guess it didn't bother me much because those epic-style movies have that different sort of feel. I think it was that the ending sequences were still somewhat epic. And I don't mean that colloquially, I mean that quite literally. It was still the great journey back, which was by no means safe or easy. There was still dealing with the fallout of the battle because, yeah, we did it, but now what are we going to do?
Like, kind of pissed off all the
time. Yeah, we sort of caused a lot of problems here. And whereas it seemed like whatever it was, Catching Fire 2, that it was a whole bunch of weirdly tying up loose ends that never needed to be tied up.
Yeah, it's like you really, really had to care about the story in the first three movies in order to really, really care about their 15th.
And well, it was not I even a story, it was that we care about the relationship that was never really the core of the film anyway. Well, it was always sort of adjacent, because he was always just kind of there. And it was, I don't know. I feel like that part of that's also as a young adult, it was a young adult movie aimed mostly at girls. And that was sort of the target demographic of the theatrical release, too. So it was sort of an odd duck for us to watch.
Well, like Harry Potter. I don't recall Harry Potter having 15 endings.
I actually never caught the last one.
It did have an epilogue.
Wow, we suck at this.
It had an epilogue, yeah, it does. But like, it didn't have the Tolkien-esque endings
because you need really that Tolkien-esque story to pull that off.
You're saying Tolkien-esque that story.
I mean Tolkien's specific style of writing to have that series of long.
Did you read the Hunger Games books?
I did not.
Okay, so that's the one that we're talking about having a Tolkien-esque ending, though. So, like,
yeah, but it didn't really have. Yeah, I would say
I thought that was the point you were making. Is that it doesn't really do that.
But Hunger Games wasn't a Tolkien-esque movie or book. Yeah. It was that it just had that weird ending.
It had to replicate that movie version of the Tolkien.
Well, and I don't think it was necessarily trying for the Tolkien thing so much as they had stuff to wrap up.
About 20 minutes ago.
Right? Yeah, you missed out on a lot of fun.
Look at that nightmare.
Everybody, the roads here are post-apocalyptic Nordic Mad Max style. For anyone who doesn't live here and didn't experience the great blizzard of Mach 15. Technically, as someone pointed out, it's still autumn. It's not actually winter yet. So, fuck me, right? But anyway, it is 9 outside. Let's check again.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 13
it
over
is 13.
Here. It warmed up. We finally moved
digits.
Into double digits. I liked it, you know, a couple years ago when I looked at it and it was a degree.
A degree.
Like, okay. Well, that's... But anyway. No, I would say that with... that it's not so much the specific instances of the Hunger Games, it's what led us to talk about it. In all honesty, it wasn't that bad, but I think it was the discussion of the epilogue in the literary terms of that sort of chapter or two that floats around at the end to sort of tie everything up makes you leave a movie theater with a kind of meh attitude.
Yeah, and I feel like the Harry Potter ones didn't do that. Every Harry Potter book had like a single epilogue. It was like... Okay,
like almost a single scene or something.
Yeah, like at the very end, it's spoilers, motherfuckers, if you haven't seen the
I haven't, but I don't care.
Well, I mean,
I know
the
story.
Book either, so, I mean...
I don't do anything.
It's a big spoiler, though, because you might...
No, I know all of it.
Okay, so there's people at the end of the movie who are, like, married now and have kids, and they're letting their kids off the Hogwarts.
Right, yeah.
And that's, like, the epic end. That's what you wanted to see. Like,
right, but that was... In that sense, you have to have some kind of conclusive of scene, which I appreciate that concept, mm-hmm. and that's where it's like, hey, life goes on, or back to normal, or business as usual, or what happens next time, or something, right? Like, you can have
well, and that's,
something.
That's kind of my point that I'd like to emphasize, is that the...
I didn't expect everything to go to hell so fast.
Oh, Jesus. Everything sucks out here.
Everything
sucks.
Mad Max, Nordic Mad Max.
But
Mad Max, Nebraska.
The epilogue, I would feel, is actually something that's trying to convey the idea that the universe of the story, like the story exists in a particular universe where there are rules and settings and people, their lives continue even after the book is done.
Yeah.
There is more to the story afterwards.
Absolutely, which
but
is
like,
the whole point of it.
It's sometimes it's hard to convey that, to really get that meaning, like what you're saying. When you have a conclusion of the story, you do a single episode, you do one movie with a beginning, middle, and end, the story is complete, and then you're done. You don't really think about it. But I think the epilogue is maybe kind of a... I'm not really a big fan of epilogue, so I'm just going to go ahead and say kind of a hackneyed attempt to... really push that conveyance that there's more to this. There is stuff. These guys go on. All these loose ends that I totally forgot to tie up happen Now,
so an epilogue has an inherent amount of disjointedness to it. Like, yeah. It doesn't necessarily feel like it's part of the story.
Well, how often do you ever see, like, the epilogue where it's like, oh, 9 years later, or it's 20 like, years later, or in some time in the future?
If it's too connected, it just becomes part of the ending.
So, right. Joe would say, it sounds like, that epilogue is bad story writing.
I'm not saying it's bad story writing. I'm saying I don't particularly care for it. There are times when
it's amazing. As soon as it gets, like, cold and snowy, everyone just loses their goddamn minds.
Any kind of inclement weather in Colorado suddenly makes people just go absolute batshit crazy. Suddenly rules no longer apply.
I was driving around yesterday, and all of a sudden someone was just honking at me. And I think it was because the lane they believed they were in converges with the lane that I believed I was in, and there was no markings on the ground to see. But it was like, I'm kind of going up against the sidewalk right now. I can feel my wheel.
You lunch yesterday. How was Carl's Jr.?
It was fantastic.
Did you go to it?
Carl's Jr. Give us free burgers, Carl's Jr.
Give us some money.
Rick and Morty forever. Yeah, actually, it was fantastic. I quite like the place. You're right. It is like Crave Burgers. I had one that had jalapeno poppers on it.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's like a poor man's Crave.
It is. It's like a man of the go's Crave because they're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm going
to. It's an on-the-go Crave.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that would... Because you look at the many endings to Hunger Games, The Mockingjay Part 2, to be specific. And
spoilerific.
You're, like, looking at these endings as they become more and more distant from the actual main story of the movie, which is different than the main story of the whole, like, book series. But it's, like, the movie has a plot. And
right.
And, like, the endings progressively get further and further away from you caring about that plot and being more overarching to the conclusion of the whole series itself.
So what if instead of having them where they had them, what if they had them after the credits? How do we feel about those epilogues? For some reason, those feel...
Stay for it?
I don't know. I usually do.
Ever since the first series of Marvel movies, I have stayed for every credit sequence.
I didn't for that one because I don't know what I expected to see.
Well,
there was nothing.
There could have been a prelude to the next Avengers, man.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
yeah, in Mockingjay.
Tony Stark was going to show up in Mockingjay. That's just a given. That truck is right all up there.
It sure is. No win.
Yeah. He's got right of way because fuck you.
It's got concrete written on it. I wouldn't fuck with it.
I might. all right. So, I guess it's. Can we think of any examples where epilogues were good or were did not piss us off?
All right. From my opinion, from somebody who doesn't actually enjoy epilogues, I know there's no movie series about it. There was a standalone TV show that didn't last long, but the Redwall series, written by Brian Jakes, they always had an epilogue, but it was always kind of like this big wrap-up to... those books are all about the big quest. I don't know if you guys have ever read any of the Redwall series.
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, man. Fantasy series, but set where basically instead of people, you have different types of animals. Racism's prevalent because if you're a rat, you're evil. If you're a, like, stoat or a fox or something, you're basically just evil. But there's always a recorder at the end. There's somebody who has the active job at the Abbey, the Redwall Abbey, of being the recorder. And there's always a general epilogue at the end where all of the main characters from the beginning and throughout the story have combined. Either they've grown up a bit more and have had children, or they've set the precedent for the next adventure, or who's the new champion of Redwall. But
so
those are
all...
It's very self-contained.
Each book is self-contained.
Yeah, pretty much. They all... There is...
How can they set up for the next one if it's
That's the thing.
Well, self-contained in the sense like their adventure is over.
Brian Jakes wrote the books. He didn't write them in chronological order. He wrote them as individual stories with individual pieces, but sometimes those characters are still in...
Same world, different stories.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
Different timelines, and they do refer back to each other. The further along you go into the series, they'll refer to stuff that happened in the past. But he didn't necessarily write them in that. This is book one. This is book two. I've actually spent a lot of time. I own almost every single Brian Jakes book. I've spent a lot of time to actually set them up in the order that they actually happened, and it's actually difficult. You have to go through and print and just read each one from beginning to end and look for the clues.
So they have good epilogues.
They do have a good epilogue because it wraps up the story, and it's always been this very... I'm very fond of his writing style, and he's very heartfelt, and they usually wrap it up with something like, you know, our door, like Redwall Abbey's doors are always open to you, the humble traveler, and it's... it's big on pulling you into, like, I want to be a part of this world. I want to be there where there's intrigue and
Are you stipulating that immersion increases your enjoyment of an epilogue?
Yeah, it's that same. It also causes that same feeling that when many readers get when a book's over, that you're just like crestfallen because the story's done.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an epilogue, but it feels well written. It feels well placed, and it doesn't even really feel like an epilogue to me.
So we've established that an epilogue is to shore up parts of the story, right? Is that what we've said?
It's at those loose ends. There's a seat rattling back there, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a buildup of ice and snow on my tires that I didn't manage to clear completely, which is why it feels like I have really badly balanced tires right now. The car is sort of an adventure. I never got going this fast yesterday, so I forgot to do it again this morning. My bad, everybody. I'm sorry. We'll fix it in post.
I got it. By holding this.
Thank you, Kyle. You're a gentleman and a scholar. I would say that in response to that, that's a fine literary example. And now, conceptually, if you were to make a movie series out of that book series, how would those epilogues work out?
Like, I don't know, Kyle, I talked a lot about that. You go ahead.
Well, I was just trying to focus on the purpose, because the purpose of an epilogue can really define whether or not it can be done well or badly. Because what if you have an epilogue that, like in Joe's case, sets up for the next story as opposed to shores up? So it's obvious that epilogues aren't just used for what Mockingjay and Lord of the Rings do for them. But is it still an epilogue if it's not doing, like, because if it's at the end of a story, but it's leading to another story, is it still considered an epilogue?
Well, from a purely technical standpoint, the epilogue is a piece of the book that happens after the conclusion and is usually disassociated in some fashion, right?
Like, disassociated from the story?
Well, in a literary sense, it's like a chapter that happens at the end.
Yeah.
In that it's after everything, it's stated often as such. Epilogue. Like, here.
Yeah, it'll say
and so,
in big text.
Yeah, so in that sense, I don't know.
Can an epilogue have cliffhangers in it?
I don't believe there's any rules about what an epilogue can or can't be.
There's really, sure, but actually, that's a very interesting point.
Let's look at like a camp, like a D&D campaign, because I was just thinking about this. So if we have we have this campaign that I ran called Company of Fools. What if I did told you an epilogue to that, like where you guys had fought this group of other bad guys and Walter had tried to summon an evil thing from the Terra Epigenia and kill everybody that was in the company. You guys ended up saving them, but like, what if I epilogue to show you the other threats, like outside the story, right? So you as players know that there's other evil in the world, but your player characters have no knowledge of this.
I think,
right?
That this is where the concept. Well, I would say this is where the literary device called an epilogue starts to lose its analogy to our stories. In that, in the book, it goes at the end of the book and it's there. Mm-hmm. In something like a D&D campaign, you never really say you're done. I've never been part of any gaming campaign that was done. It was always like, maybe we'll pick it up again, and then you never do, or you do.
Okay, so then we have the gray area where Joe's story is alive.
So I would say it's an epilogue if we never play it again, but it's in a quantum state of epilogueness, because as soon as we start...
Epilogue, that's the name of the episode called it.
Yeah, it'd be an epilogue. Yeah, Schrodinger's epilogue. Pick that up, future Kendrick, and put it on some. Or future Kyle, he never listens to these. He hates us all. If you end it and conclude the story and then just have that one random little piece at the end, that would be an epilogue. But if you continued another story after that, it would just be sort of an interstitial, piece.
Yeah. So are the story, or the Redwall series that Joe's talking about, where you have a self-contained adventure in a story that has an epilogue that can then connect. Is the epilogue directly connecting stuff? Or
well,
is it just that characters
in the
are
books,
moving through the stories?
In the books, it's just that there's a piece that's put at the end, and it comes after the conclusion of the story. And it might tie it into a greater story. It might not. It might tie up loose ends. It might not. So the problem, I think, is that it's difficult to make D&D campaigns analogous to novels.
A lot of D&D campaigns are turned into novels.
But then they become a novel, and you have to make those changes, right? Then you've sliced a chunk out and say, this is a novel.
Okay.
And that's fantastic, and I'm 100% on board for that. But
the idea, though, is that each campaign is its own story.
If each campaign is its own story, then it has to have a conclusion at the end, right?
Yeah.
So if you make it to that, then after the conclusion of the campaign would be the epilogue. And then you start a new campaign.
So there could be an epilogue at the end of the company.
Yeah, but then if you made a new campaign, it would have to start over and be the beginning of a new story.
Beginning of a new story, and couldn't it be a continuation of
it? Well, if it was a continuation of the old story, then you'd be a lie to say that it was one story.
There's a good
and an epilogue and an end of the story.
There's a good way to cover that, and I feel like Conan the Barbarian did that really well. Okay. The original, the Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
Oh, the movies.
Okay. Yeah, the movie.
Not the novels or the comics.
You know, I only read a few of the comics, and they were awesome, but the movie did a really good job, because it did, like, you know, the origins and rise of Conan, and then at the end, they're like, oh, like, he was a man who, you know, does the long, like, panning away shot of Conan sitting on the throne, and they're like, they've got the text going on. It's like, he was a like great and powerful warrior who went through many adventures and became a king by his own hand. But that's a story for another day.
Right, well, and
they
in that
never
sense,
actually tell that story.
Well, no,
they only tell the stories of Conan.
Right, and that's what adventures. That thing is there is that would be the epilogue, which is, yep, and then he went on and did stuff.
The epilogue is the telling them that they did stuff or the doing of the stuff?
No, that saying he went on and did
the
other stuff.
The telling of
the epilogue.
Stuff.
But,
yeah.
Again, this is because you're looking at a single atomic story.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Whereas I think that D&D is less atomic because you haven't really... What it is it's all up in the air until you actually do it. Like, until the end. So whether it's an epilogue or not depends on whether you've already written the book that is...
Which ties back into what we were saying earlier, which is an epilogue is tying... not just plot points from that story or book or movie together, but shoring up everything from the whole series.
It could be.
Like, well, that's what they do in the movies most of the time. That's why I feel like there's 15 epilogues, because you have 6 plot points that have been happening over the entirety of the series that need to be wrapped up. And that wrapping up is the epilogue. The true epilogue. The platonic form of epilogue.
That got out of hand.
That got really weird. But I would say that an epilogue, at its simplest term, answers the question, well, what did they do next? What did they do after that? What happened to them?
Well, that's one way you can look at it.
But
it could also be, for example, if your plot device is like in Princess Bride or something, where it's someone reading a story to someone, then the epilogue could be at the end them talking about the story they just read.
Right.
That's not necessarily the same thing as what happened next. Well, it's after the conclusion of the story, though.
But the story's in the story. So the
and that's
story
where it starts to get confusing.
The story. So the epilogue isn't them.
But it could still
the
be in the book, the epilogue.
Okay.
Is what
so
I'm saying.
That's what I guess
so I think that we're trying to nail down something that's literally just I tacked a chapter on.
Well, yeah, and then, but really the conversation was originally about, or is the topic of today, is translating an epilogue to a movie.
Which is what I'm saying, which is where, to get back to that, all I'm saying is that if you consider stories have... a beginning, middle, end, but in more direct terms, it's establishing characters, creating a conflict, resolving the conflict as a basic story pieces, right? Mm. Those are the three things you got to have, right? Every piece of everything has something that follows roughly that order. Now,
sure.
You can put a conflict up at the beginning, but if you don't have any established characters, no one gives a shit. If you have a resolution at the beginning, you don't have any tension, so what's the point? And so you've got to have this. There's these mathematical formulas at their base that tell you what stories are supposed to go. And after you've finished that, you've done your formula, you've finished, you've got more stuff to say. And whatever that means, whatever that is, you've got more story to tell that doesn't fit into any of those three pieces and didn't fit anywhere into the original formula, and you just staple it on to the end. Which is very insulting to people, and I'm sure we're going to piss off some writers. I hope some writers are listening so that I can piss them off. But that's essentially how an epilogue works is, all right, I did the thing, I followed the rules, I wrote the story, but I'm not done talking about Gandalf. Or
yeah.
I really want to tell you what happened to Gimli.
But because you could have, like, I'm still hooked on this, though. Like, I think it's more about closing the series as a whole. In movies, like when we translate them to movies, epilogues are used as a device to say this is stuff we couldn't tell in the story.
Sure.
Like this is.
And
how
I guess the question is, when does it? Why does it work sometimes, and why other times was I bored?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And that might be me, but I feel like I'm not alone in that. Like, I know Lord of the Rings was famous for it.
Maybe it has to do with the immersion, like Joe was saying. Like, you don't mean, you may or may not care about Mocking or, like, you know, the Hunger Games series.
I guess, I guess, I did care about the Hunger Games series. I did actually get into those. I watched the first one only about 6 months ago. Not even. Because I misunderstood the advertising for it. Like, I, for some reason, I watched the ads for it, and I'm like, this isn't going to appeal to me. And then I actually watched it, I was like, no, this is exactly, this is awesome. I loved it. So, that was my bad for not following up on it and watching when it first came out. And then I crammed the next two, via whatever media I could find them on, the last month before the movie came out, because we all watched the movie on an office trip. So, I wanted to be caught up. And I'm watching it like, I actually give a shit about these people. I give a shit about their plight. I want to see them do well. You know, I want to see it turn out. Even though I'm not really in the target demographic for the movie, and I understand that. It's whatever.
But have to remember that Kendrick's always searching for a movie that doesn't let the character that he falls in love with immediately die right away.
It's true. That is true. No, you're not wrong. Which is why I was just careful to never love anyone in the Hunger Games. Because in all honesty,
never love anyone.
Yeah, just stop there, actually. Just go with that. Why even bother saying other words? Why waste the time? Never love anyone.
That loves you.
Don't love people. They'll die. Kendrick Evans. Out. No.
He just jumped out of the car.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, no, in that sense, what... For characters I cared about in The Hunger Games, you kind of... Everybody was going to die. Like, walking around, that was the expectation. Because the whole premise was that one person's going to walk away from this and nobody else will. Mm-hmm. And that carries through all the movies. So I think for me, that was managed better, because I wasn't as upset, because every damn time a Harry Potter character died, it was one of my fucking favorite characters. God damn it, J.K. Rowling.
I just feel like she was really going to do it, that.
And then the last book apparently is where she's been reading a lot of George R.R. Martin. It was like, I can do this too, see?
Oh, yeah, look. I can kill everybody.
That's kind of how I felt. So... we're kind of diverting from the epilogue thing, but that's
I'm surprised we stayed on as long as we did.
Because you mentioned that as like they made it seem like it was okay to kill characters, like, or it was like a thing that they were gonna do, right?
Right.
After reading in The Martian, like, I felt the author did something the opposite, and then I figured out after I read it that the story was supposed to be about optimism and hope. And I won't go any further if you guys are gonna read The Martian or
there's
desire.
A good chance.
I'd like to
watch the movie at least. So.
Okay, I won't. We can talk about it on another podcast, but suffice it to say, they tried to do that and didn't do it well.
Establishing that he might die?
They always want you to believe. Well, see, now you know. Like, you already know.
Well,
what do you think is going to happen in the
book? I think he's going to live through it.
Okay, there
because
you go.
Because
you didn't
Matt
get any
Damon.
Spoilers. He doesn't
okay.
die.
I mean, okay, so, yeah, sorry, we should have led with that. I guess if you heard The Martian and didn't immediately turn it off, you're stupid, but. Because this is a podcast.
This podcast
that movie's been out
spoilers.
For that movie's been out for months.
We're very spoiler heavy.
Well, I mean, maybe we should put spoiler alerts on the text then.
Sure, yeah,
but
we can whatever.
The movie's been out. That movie's been out for months.
The book's been out since 2011.
The
so
book's
you really
been out forever.
The
Mockingjay's been out for like I guess 3 weeks now. So we're kind of on the edge of that one, but we didn't really spoil it except that there was an ending and you know a certain number of people died.
Oh God, clone us.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
So hey, wait, better wave.
They're waving. Better wave back then.
Better wave back.
So yeah, they want you to think that he's gonna die this whole time. And the first few conflicts, you're like, oh my god, that was so close. Oh my god. And then it just keeps happening,
well,
and it keeps surviving.
I feel like that's a bummer with books because you might be like a third of the way in, and you're still holding the rest of the book, and you're like, I don't think this is about him being dead.
Yeah. And so like I started wanting people to die. Like I was like, man, I hope somebody in this book dies. Like.
Which
nobody did.
Frankly, that's something I actually, from a literary standpoint, I do respect J.K. Rowling, George R.R. Martin, and those people for doing.
Especially
is killing off their dudes. Moffat,
a device.
Fuck you.
Yeah, especially because you're going to use it as a device to elicit emotion from the story. Like, that he could die.
Right.
Or that a character could die, or that there's
right.
a potential of death. You can't say that and then not ever have anybody die, because then I never believe that's true.
Chekhov's
gun.
It is Chekhov's gun, though.
It is Chekhov's gun.
Because they're like, so he could die, but he won't.
But it's not, because Chekhov's guns always get used. Don't
no,
they?
The whole point is, if a Chekhov's gun is the thing where if you don't use it, then you're violating Chekhov's gun.
Oh, okay.
Because the whole point is, if you built the set and you put a gun in there, and there's a big old gun that's right on the wall and it's there, and you it never goes off, fuck you. I think is actually how it's worded.
Only
in Russian.
Yes.
So that's kind of what it's like, you got to make sure you use that death of a character thing very, very... I mean, if you're going to use it, use it. If you're going to threaten it, I'm not going to care. Like,
yeah. It's like, yeah, it doesn't work at the threat. Which is where, like, George R.R. Martin, at least, again, I've only done one of the audiobooks.
He was just like,
well, and death. What it gave you the sense of is even watching the show, I watched the show first, and then I went back and did the first audiobook, and I plan on doing more audiobooks as I go. But what I liked about it is at any point, at any time, you're not sure if they're going to make it out of there. And I've actually seen interviews where he says, that's what I wanted. Because you're sitting there, and I remember a fight scene in, I think it was the second season, or so, whatever book that is, where Tyrion Lannister's there, and some Starks, I forget who all's there, but they're attacked in a canyon. And I'm sitting there, you know, puckering, because it's like, shit, I don't want him to die. I don't want him to die in this.
Is that when they're traveling to the Aerie?
Yeah, they're
like,
yeah.
Catelyn and...
Yeah, Catelyn's got him prisoner.
Bringing Tyrion up to...
Yes, yes. Okay. And she's got... Or, no,
they
don't
have...
They get
attacked by not the wildlings, but, like, the more southern...
The mountain folk, yeah.
Yeah.
And, lots of people died, and only one main character, I think, died in that conflict. But it was scary. It was actually legitimately scary, because you're like, oh, crap, this is where Tyrion dies. Because you know his death is in play. He absolutely could die at any moment.
He's literally going to be tried to be killed.
Yeah, like, you don't know. He could literally drop dead at any point here, and you have no way of knowing whether he makes it out or not, unless you happen to have experience and knowledge beforehand. But I mean, the first time going through that book or movie or whatever, I remember going to the audiobook, same thing, because I already knew what happened, but still I was like, oh crap, does he die? Like, because
did they change
so,
it?
It's so believable.
They do.
Because
they
seriously,
a lot of stuff from the book.
Yeah, but I don't think they'd kill off Tyrion that early. But still, the differences are enough where I feel still compelled, like, what? How does this go down? How does he get fucked up? Because then you also have plenty of people who get disfigured or like just mutilated in horrible ways, or like kidnapped, and there's all kinds of horrible things that happen to people. Mm-hmm. And it makes it much more realistic, and the tension's genuinely there.
Yeah,
which is where I think that's Chekhov's gun, in the sense of, yeah, I killed off main characters. Yeah, I literally killed off the guy you thought the whole fucking book was about at the, like, not even at the end of the first book, but like three quarters of the way through.
So is that reverse of like what I think the Martian's doing, is where they're like, they'll kill off anybody? Is that the reverse of a...
Well, it's what it is it's what the Martian is threatening to do, but executed better, I would say, in the sense of I haven't experienced what you've experienced,
but I wouldn't say that Game of Thrones threatens. I think they're just like...
What I mean is they don't need
a
threat.
Guy that just pulls out a gun and starts shooting people in a room.
They don't need to threaten anyone because, well, I guess what it is since they pulled that early.
Since they pulled it early.
Well,
every time they get tension. Yeah, every time they get tension, you know, it's genuine tension as opposed to that fictitious tension in
The
Martian
or
in Star Trek.
I'm not sure that they threatened that people were going to die, like, as, you know, in the same
way. Well, it doesn't have to be a literal threat.
No, you're reading this story and you're just like, man, there's some really political intrigue. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
In Game of Thrones, or
yeah,
in Game of Thrones, you're like, yeah, this
like,
is, oh shit, they killed that
Ned's
guy.
Like trying to investigate.
Oh God, they killed that guy.
Ned's dead. You're like, wow.
Okay, man. Ned's dead. And then
I think remember why Ned got executed.
Oh, it's total bullshit. Which is the best part. Yeah. He died because he was too busy being, you know, a good guy. He didn't play the game. He was a bastion of hope. And here's the best part.
No, like the literal reason why he got beheaded.
Oh, the literal reason he was is treason.
Yeah,
but
because he thought he was
well,
he
brought to light that Joffrey wasn't the actual real heir,
which was to that
the
which was not the official reason. Well, no. That's not why they officially killed
him.
Well,
they wanted him to refute that.
No, ostensibly they say they blamed him for Robert's death.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what they threw him under the bus for that one. They said it was a conspiracy to kill Robert because he wanted the throne.
But they also
I think that's what they threw. That's how they that's what they nailed him on. In the actual, like, that's what they were. Now, in reality, it was because he found out Joffrey wasn't really Robert's son, blah, blah, blah. That's all that. But the public reason was that he conspired to kill the king. By something.
On the Game of Thrones. With how many fucking characters there are.
I'm not sure. It's a choice. He might tie it up or kill them all. And then the ending would just be, you know...
Imagine the potential fields
of Westeros is just a burning hellscape.
Yeah.
There's nothing left.
It's just a dragon shitting gold.
they can do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Why not? Fuck it.
A bear, a gorilla, whatever.
It's a fucking...
George R. R. Martin. But no, I think that's... okay, so the difference there in terms of how they established the death thing was in that first story, and I watching the show and the book, this is something that's like very similar and very well done in both parts. Ned Stark is clearly the protagonist. He's clearly the bastion of hope. He's a fucking paladin. You know he's going to win. You know he's going to win.
And because good always triumphs.
Because good triumphs, and that's the story. And so he's charming. He's smart. He'll play the game a little, but mostly he won't compromise on his ideals. He's going to get in prison. Okay, well, you know, he'll have a grand breakout. Okay, somehow he'll get off the... Oh, shit.
No, that's his head rolling.
Yeah, I still think that Ned Stark's alive.
Right, because you can't let go of that hope.
Well, because I'm like, oh, I know, maybe like Viserys or whatever the fucking guy...
Something, like, right? You got to have something, but here's...
Hold him out, and like they've replaced him with some guy who can change his face from the Assassin's Guild or something like that.
Oh, God. Because you have to have that.
Please, please, please.
And that, I think, is fine storytelling, because what he did was he used the existing body of literature that we're all used to and expecting. That style of, oh, yeah, here's the protagonist. He's going to win the day. He's Aragorn. He blah, blah, blah. No, you're not. He's dead.
Wrong answer.
And then the best part about it is it wasn't like a wonderful Boromir death in battle to save everyone. It was a pointless, stupid, senseless death, which was a political stunt that wasn't even supposed to happen. So because Joffrey, because remember, he was supposed to be pardoned and then exiled.
Yeah.
And that's what they do for everybody.
And Joffrey's like...
And Joffrey's like, no, fucking kill him. And it's like, no, head. No, that, no.
So what we're really trying to senseless. Say here, though, is that Sean Bean has a breadth of acting experience.
Most of which, in all honesty, he is a fabulous dyer.
He can die as a paladin. He can die...
as a bear.
He can die being with a chest full of orc arrows.
Taking care of a little girl from Silent Hill.
He's just a good dyer.
He is...
So on today's episode, Sean Bean.
Sean Bean...
Now, I
hope you're listening.
I want to say this would be the absolute best time to reveal a secret guest character that we've just been having riding in the car.
Yeah, Sean Bean's been here this whole time.
Somehow we swung Sean Bean. Well, thanks, guys. And he talks for 5 minutes, and that's it.
Yeah, like he was like, I don't even work where they work. I just
rode with them. I'm just going to get an Uber.
Aaron was talking about that. He's like, what are you guys doing the Wednesday before Christmas? I could drive with you and do Sid Sock. And I was like, because he's like listening to it, and he said he wanted to refute points a lot.
Yeah.
He wanted to sit there and talk, and I was like, that's the beauty of this, Aaron. You can't.
Yeah, that's you the can't. Point. You can't do that. for special guests, we'll have to have call-ins or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a phone on speakerphone next to this phone.
That's actually a good idea.
Actually, we'll talk about the technology of that, because I think we could do something like that if we just recorded them both and then splice them later.
Sure,
but
sure.
That's nobody cares about that except future Kyle and future Kendrick and maybe future Joe. But I don't think
possibly future Joe.
I don't think future Joe's even listened to the other podcast. So.
I have actually.
Oh. Well,
yes.
Fuck me then.
Yeah, you're right. Fuck you.
Oh, guys, I didn't. Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry. That just.
It's,
God, no what children?
A podcast for children.
What children is
none
this
of us
for?
Are going to have children. I arranged for that.
God damn it, Kendrick.
Good thing I stored my seed in my fridge. Oh, no. Oh, that, yep,
that was milk.
That was milk. Oh.
yeah.
It's
I told you to stop drinking out of the carton.
And the
this
vial.
Is an exceptionally long episode, so
yeah, this
we
is, this,
early.
We may
we
have
can't
to
figure out anything else to talk about.
Well, we started a little late.
We're at
38 minutes.
That's
what
I figured.
So
you want to wrap this up? You want to wrap this episode up? And
I guess we should probably wrap it up and then just we're gonna die. No, I'm kidding. No, we're not gonna.
We're
die.
Not gonna
we're
die yet.
Well, we're all gonna die.
Well, it had to be believable if all three of us.
I guess 38 minutes.
Find my phylactery.
30 my... That's disturbing. 30, okay. 39 minutes, I guess I was...
So, we've come to some conclusions today on Sid Sock.
Epilogues are a thing that we don't really know what they are, but we've said a lot of words
they
about them.
They definitely happen in movies.
Sean Bean should
Sean
be in
Bean,
more epilogues.
And that we are super spoilerific.
Yeah, if you're going to use death,
I don't
use
think
it.
We were super spoilerific.
How many times spoilers, did you have to say spoiler?
Use it.
I actually didn't, except for the only time we had any
I mean, you collectively.
But like, I kept saying because it was funny.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Alright,
well then.
So, I guess the conclusion is that cheese is a kind of meat.
Cheese is a kind of meat.
That's the mighty boosh. And that it's got many uses, including Sean Bean.
Yeah, Sean Bean is
Bean is the finest of cheese.
Let's just sign out.
We'll see you next time.
Well, we won't see you, and you won't see us.
Hopefully,
there will be no scene.
We'll always
next time,
see you
there won't be a,
it.
You know, barren...
So this is Kendrick.
Nordic
this is Kyle.
...hellscape that we have to go through.
Joe
this
has,
is Joe.
He's fucking Joe, still rambling.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.